Look, guys, the cat is out of the fucking bag. We are ruled by psychopathic authoritarians. And the only way we can do this is we got Trojan horses, motherfuckers. You got to join us. Get on social media. Hit that fucking like button. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and tell your friends about the fucking podcast. Because we're going to rot this motherfucker in from the inside out. Fucking join us. All right?
Do it.
Woo!
You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely fucked up? You know that feeling that the whole country is like one inch away from saying, that's it, forget it. Let's see.
Hey, Twister Man, now look, here's a house full of bees. You think the honey badger cares? It doesn't give a shit.
Listen, let's get one thing straight.
Price is right.
Guns don't kill people. Yes, dude.
And I've been from Tucson to Tucum Carry. Right. And I've beat a ton of ball. Driven every kind of rig that's ever been made. Driven the back road so I wouldn't get away.
I think some apologies are in order.
Well, you got me there.
Little Feet.
Little Feet?
Yeah.
I am a Little Feet fan.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that song.
Yeah, the chorus, if you give me weed, whites, and wine,
yeah,
I'll be willing to be moving. Which is a little mellower than we normally go, but I guess I'm feeling that way after our camping excursion.
Yeah, I gotta admit, maybe I'm a fake fan, but when that came in, I was like, what fucking sad boomer music is this? Little Feet's got some rocking stuff, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm just trying to be hip by saying that, obviously, since I did not recognize that. I feel like my blood is just made entirely of meat and beer right now.
Look at my face.
Yeah, dude, you look rough.
I don't know if I'm sunburned or windburned.
Yeah.
We just had a two-day camping excursion.
I actually just ran into a neighbor at the store who goes like, you look like you had a long weekend. I see this guy like every 2 months.
Oh, man. Well, standing outside in the freezing wind for incessant too.
Yeah.
For
Mike, you know we went camping over the weekend, yeah?
Yeah, but look at your faces.
Yeah.
So the place that we went to is pretty cool.
We go probably a couple times a year.
Yeah. It's mainly a trailer camping park. You do see people in tents there, and there's some areas where there's a walk-in only, no cars, no vehicles allowed. But the 90% of it is trailers. And it's a very interesting place because in Sonoma County, well, it's in Marin County, but it's in the center of liberal left,
yeah.
Northern California, you know, right dab smack in the middle. And it's got to be the most MAGA place you've ever been.
I mean,
and it's like you lose
count of like American flags, don't tread on me flags.
Yeah. Or license
Trump
plate frames,
flags,
bumper stickers.
Yeah.
We actually ran into some Proud Boys while we were there. But here's the thing.
I would say it's
demographics of that campsite, I'm going to say, are 65% white.
Think
it's higher?
It depends.
We were there this weekend.
I think typically you might be correct, but then this weekend they had a super wild tide swing, which, not to get too inside baseball here, but which exposes all the sandbars, which if you're going for clamming and stuff like that. So huge
which is huge activity with like Asian families.
Is that why there were so many Asians there this weekend?
Yeah. So it's like, it was mostly Asian families there.
Yeah.
And they like, they come like extended tight family networks, like 20 to 30.
So what do you think the percentage was? You think it was mostly Asian?
I'd say at least 50%.
It was definitely high.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to be conservative with my guess there.
Yeah.
Okay. So 50% Asian. Huh. Well, there's always a lot of Asians there fishing.
Yeah.
But right. Not like this weekend. I was like.
Yeah. This weekend was pretty specific to clamming and what they call them, gooey ducks.
Okay.
Yeah.
God damn. Some of those clams that those people.
They're huge. Out. Yeah. They're big as like footballs.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Look crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, seriously. This big. Like a small dinner plate.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was insane.
And we were right next to a campsite that, I don't know, it must have been 30 strong. I mean, extended Asian family. They take over like 3 or 4 sites. And
yeah,
they're basically, we shared a site with them. You know, we were right next to them. And all their kids came over and we introduced ourselves and we told them, hey, your kids are fine here. So they had they're all playing at our campsite. They had all the Legos out. And it was rad because you had a pack of like 10 kids just running, like full Lord of Flies, just having a good time. And Kelly had pointed out, he's like, because they were all speaking, I don't know what they're speaking, some kind of Asian.
Chinese.
Yeah, some kind of Chinese dialect.
It was, yeah, I know. Yeah. It's northern dialect, yeah.
And he goes, what do you think's up with those hats? And they're all wearing red USA hats. I was like, huh, that's kind of cool.
It looked like they had just, it was like hats. Like, it wasn't the kids' favorite hats. It looked like they had just gone to some sporting event and they came home with trophies from the event.
Right. Like almost all the kids were wearing these red USA hats. And it's like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And then when they all came over to our site.
And I'm thinking, like, is this to try to like fit in like your, you know, because you're speaking Chinese. So you're the parents at least were obviously born outside of America.
Yeah, I'd say a fair percentage of them were, yeah.
Yeah. And so like, they want to be in America because America is the greatest country in the world, the biggest destination today for immigrants, right? So they're here because they want to be here because they love America. And are they just like overcompensating and being like, let's just make sure we show everyone how much we love America so that no one hates us.
We were kind of conducting ethnography, like in the corner drinking beers, like, oh, what's up with that? Like, what's up with the hats? And we started like chatting with them, like super nice people. They're meeting, you know, one of the first things they said, like, oh, you guys got to come over and eat with us and everything. And then I noticed the kids, when all the kids came over, and told Kelly, he's like, dude, those aren't USA hats. Those are Trump hats. Because it said USA 45. I'm like, 45? Wait a minute. And then it said Trump on the back. I'm like, this entire family, you know, almost half of them are wearing Trump hats.
They're all MAGA.
Yeah, it was very, very interesting.
What's a 45 mean?
He's 45th president.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah.
Because that's the first thing I saw. I'm all 45. Wait a minute. And I like looked around at the back of like one of the hats. I'm like, oh, wow. Look at you guys.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was very interesting. You know, it's a very unique place. That campground.
Yeah. I remember saying it a couple different times. Like the people watching at that place is just top notch. Like you get it all. Yeah. It's just insane.
All socioeconomic levels.
Yeah.
Usually the people in the tents would be at the bottom of the ladder. They're younger also. And then all the way up to like, I don't even know, $250,000 trailers.
Yeah. That's, you and I were talking about that earlier too. It's like you'll go up and this guy, you know, you'll see a truck. It's a lifted 350 all with, you know, custom suspension. So you're looking at it, you're like, that's about $100,000 truck right there, you know, all said and done. Mm-hmm. And then you're looking at the trailer with the pop outs and everything. I'm like, that's about a $250,000 trailer. So this guy is like, we're in the north end of $500,000 on this campsite because they have also the grills and everything, you know what I mean?
All the accoutrement.
And then it's so odd. You go up and chat because I love looking at all the different rigs, you know, because we recently refurbished an old trailer. And just love looking at the different trucks and the trailers. And it's cool to chat about people, you know, chat with people about, you know, are you guys driving this thing all year long or whatever it is, you know? But you see this insane rig and you go up like, hey, where are you guys from?
Like, gotta be a doctor, right?
Yeah. Oh, like Sacramento. Cool. Like, what do you do? He's like, oh, plumber.
Yeah. Drywall.
I'm like, what? I was like, this is like, I don't know how you afford, like, are you just in debt up to your eyeballs? Like, I don't know how you.
I mean, I don't hope so, but I kind of hope that that's Otherwise, we're doing something really wrong. And yes. Have been for a long time, which is not outside the realm of possibilities.
But all things being said, that you know, we go out there a couple times a year, probably 5-6 times a year, to be honest with you. And it's nice. It's less than an hour from our house, but it's still, you can get away. You know, you're still kind of technically camping. It's not like, I wouldn't say it's like a excursion in nature. It's just like sites backed up. It's kind of it's a giant party.
It's like a NASCAR
event. And all said and done, I've had very, very few negative experiences. Like I had maybe one or two the last like 5 or 6 years.
I had one this morning on my knees barfing.
Yeah.
At about, 6 a.m. I was fighting it all night long.
I wish I'd seen that. I would have so many great rookie jokes.
Well, I was not drunk when I went to sleep. It was not from drinking.
Yeah, we went to bed like we kept it mellow.
Yeah,
we started drinking at 9 a.m.
I mean, yeah, I did have probably 20 beers throughout the day, but I was not drunk enough to be hungover today. But what's hilarious is somebody did see me. One of the people in the Asian campsite next to us was out and about making coffee and stuff. And I couldn't get to the back of the trailer where I was hoping. And I was just right outside the door on my hands and knees, just, it was so bad. Oh my God. Felt fine afterwards.
Yeah. Good times, man. Good times.
Yeah. I could have gone for a little bit warmer. I think I'm out for next May.
Yeah, springtime on the Northern California coast is not. No,
fucking October is.
Yes, that's the secret, man. Everyone's back at school, back at work. You go out there, October, even like early November, it's paradise out there.
Light offshore winds.
Yeah, the wind has shifted. It's blowing all the warm air out of the valley. It's it's beautiful out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you remember us, the initial conversations that we had when we first started this podcast?
Are you starting the show?
Yes.
All right.
Let's start the show. we had talked about the things that COVID basically started this, the plandemic, and that, I don't know, everyone, you know, not to beat a dead horse, we never bought into any of it from the very beginning. Us and all of our friends just didn't buy into the lockdowns, didn't buy into the masks, didn't buy into the vaccines, we're just like, this is all silly. And then we started making, I wouldn't even call them predictions, but just like us like kind of hashing things out. And like, I think like this is going on and I think this is going to happen. And we just kept getting things right over and over and over again. And then we go to our wives, like, you know, we called this like 6 months ago and they're like, I don't remember you saying that.
See?
What? You're like, what do you mean? You don't remember? Like, I woke up that morning and said that thing? And so I'm like,
we got to start recording this shit so we can play
exactly,
it back to them.
Exactly. So we decided, like, we kind of need to start documenting some of the things. So I would urge you to, both you guys, if you want to add to this list, but I just was kind of going, like, okay, like, what did we get right? Like, that I know for sure that we talked about before it happened. So these are all things, and we did an episode of this. This in the very, very beginning. I know this was one of our first episodes, but what we did is we lined out like, "Hey, here are things that used to be right wing conspiracy theories that would get you kicked off a social media platform, but now it turned out to be kind of the general consensus that it was true."
We did a deep dive on InfoWars.
Yeah, and the only difference being is that like, yeah, okay, we're on the same page now, but we were saying this a year ago. And when you bring that up to people, they either don't believe you, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, that's interesting." Well, now we have the information.
Or, science changed.
Yeah, the science changed. Okay, so here's what I got. I remember in the very, very beginning when they brought out the idea, it's going to be 15 days to flatten the curve. Is I remember saying the day they announced that, telling my wife, like, "It's not. No, this is going to be a permanent thing. It's not going to be 15 days." And one of the reasonings in my head is like, okay, they're announcing that right around spring break. And the teachers at the behest of the teachers union were already saying like, it's not safe to be in the classroom. So what they're going to do is they're going to ease us into a semi-permanent lockdown. Is they're going to say 15 days to flatten the curve and they're going to let all the kids out in spring break. And I'm like, I bet you this thing, it's like, my prediction is this thing, they close down the schools for the rest of the year, at least.
There is good news in what we're seeing. That what we have done and what we are doing is actually working and it's making a difference. We took dramatic actions in this state. We New York Pause program to close down schools, businesses, social distancing, and it's working. It is flattening the curve, and we see that again today. So far, meaning what? Meaning that curve is flattening because we are flattening the curve by what we are doing. If we stop what we are doing, you will see that curve change.
We predicted the mask mandate. I was like, they're going to make mask mandatory. Like, people were kind of willingly wearing them. I was like, they're going to make this a mandatory thing. Just said this. Teachers, after, like, we came out of, like, hey, we're done with 15 days of flatten the curve, or school's back in session, like, the following fall, I was like, teachers, at the behest of their union, are going to be fighting tooth and nail to keep the schools closed. That's my prediction. Totally true. We were at the meetings over Zoom, but of teachers saying, like, it's totally not safe for kids to be back in school, which is why we pulled our kid out of school.
Because it wasn't safe for him?
Yeah. Right.
But he says no one should go back without assurances there will be adequate PPE, sanitizer, cleaning supplies, and ventilation. Estimated cost to retrofit schools across the country, he says, $175 to $200 billion.
The president wants us back into school? Fine. Have us back into school. But give us the funding in order to make sure it's going to happen safely. We can't do this halfway.
I didn't nail exactly the way that they would do this, but I remember saying in the very beginning, I have a prediction that every major corporation would figure out a loophole to find their business to continue while all of their businesses had to close down.
Right.
It's true. Every local business, every local restaurant, everything had closed.
Yeah.
Target, Walmart, Costco, record profits.
Yeah. Amazon.
Amazon.
Yeah. Anyone that could deliver.
Yep.
Which small mom and pops could not. Airlines all got bailout money.
Yeah.
And we were allowed to pile into these flying tin cans because they had such good ventilation. Right?
With masks, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. I guess we were.
Except when you're eating your peanuts.
Yeah, or drinking. Which actually they took away the drinking.
Yes. And I also, like, we had to wear a mask the last time we flew to Mexico. And I set the world record for sipping two beers on a 6-hour flight.
Did they limit you to two?
No.
All right.
I don't remember. No. They were pretty legit. I gotta be honest. I went in kind of loaded for bears. Like, I'm not going to take shit from anyone. And they're like, we don't care about
you,
this shit.
Anymore. You came
into the tail end.
Flight game.
Yeah, exactly.
The end.
Exactly.
I flew at least three times during the whole thing. And it was a fucking battle up in the skies.
Okay, more shit that I got right. That there would eventually be a vaccine mandate. I mean, you can go back. We can find sound clips of Biden saying, like, no, that's unconstitutional. We would never, like, mandate a vaccine. You can't do that. My body, my choice.
I'd be pretty surprised if you mandated it for any element of the general public.
No, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand it be mandatory.
And no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential.
We're not counting on vaccine mandates at all.
Those are decisions the federal government is not going to make.
You're not going to see a central mandate coming from the federal government.
That's not the role of the federal government.
You know, at the federal level, I don't have the authority to either mask mandate or vaccine mandate. That's not what we do at the federal level.
Definitely not. You don't want to mandate and try and force anyone to take a vaccine. We've never done that.
Am I right in that so far all of this is you just saying you got all these things right? We haven't recorded. We don't have any proof of this.
Yeah.
With the podcast, right?
We do.
This is all pre-podcast.
Okay. If you go back to our very first episode, which is what? Less than a year? Better part of a year?
January 9th.
Okay. We were saying these things back then, which is why. So that's the only, like, written. So the only witness I have is my wife, who I was ranting at the very beginning of the plandemic. So we'd have to take her word for
it. We need to pull up some clips just for fun from that first episode.
Okay. That would be interesting to do.
Yeah.
We can do that.
All right. Keep going.
Okay. There would be a vaccine mandate. The vaccine would not work or have very serious side effects, which is my original reasoning for not taking the vaccine. Is like, I don't know. this thing was thrown together pretty quick, and it seems to be completely political whether people take it or not. I'm calling bullshit on this.
And a relatively new technology.
Mm-hmm. And now, well, okay, I'm going to get to some facts on that. Remind me a little bit. The vaccine would require a booster. That dovetails into the last one. It's like we're going to find out the efficacy of this thing is nowhere near what they're claiming is going to be. There's going to be boosters. The boosters would become mandated. These are all supposedly right wing conspiracy theories that are all basically common knowledge now. They would eventually leverage your way to make a living to enforce a vaccine mandate. So, you know, take the jab or lose your job kind of thing.
A year and a half ago, we started with 15 days to slow the spread, and now it's gone to get jabbed or lose your job. And today's OSHA rule, very long time coming, we were waiting for it, that was issued. If you look at it, here it is. It's almost 500 pages. And so we're supposed to be a government of laws, not a government of men. This is 500 pages of a government of a bureaucracy, a government that is being run by executive edict.
There would be a vaccine mandate for kids.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things that they said, like, no, we would never do anything like that. Like,
yeah.
Now hearing
that. We could find clips.
If we
weren't camping all weekend, we could find clips of them saying these exact things that I remember Nancy Pelosi saying, no, it wouldn't be constitutional to mandate people to get a vaccine. That's just not something we're planning on doing.
Right. And the last one I have is, and you guys can add any that you can remember, but there would be ongoing threats and of more lockdowns and more mandates due to quote unquote new variants or a mutated strain mm-hmm. of the original COVID.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff came true. We were saying these things 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I know we've hammered that to death on this podcast.
Oh, we're pretty smart guys.
Are we, though? We're not. That's not really. What's funny about. We're pretty, like, average intelligence, just guys who just critically think about things. And we walk out your front door, and you're like, I don't know. There's a lot here that just does not make sense. That's how we got to where we are. It's very simple. All you have to do is eschew the model of corporate media and think for yourself. Use basic critical thinking skills. Little things. You take little bits and pieces of being out in the world, and then you from there you extrapolate, like, okay, if that's not true, then whichever context that thing exists in, maybe the whole thing's bullshit, and you start questioning everything. Yeah. So it could be something simple like going into a restaurant. You need to wear your mask when you walk 12 feet to the table there. Any common sense person would go, like, that does not make sense. So then I walk over there, I take off the mask, and they go, okay, maybe this whole mask thing is fucking nonsense. And then you're a year and a half, 2 years ahead of the curve. And next thing you know, the Johns Hopkins study comes out. Like, yeah, the masks, turns out they don't work. Yeah. They never did.
It's not that any common sense person would think that makes sense.
It is as if you're using common sense. If not, if you are approaching this whole thing with some kind of political or ideological, like, tribalist model.
Well, I just thought you're
like, I have to buy into this because I have to signal to the rest of the tribe that I'm a devout religious fanatic like the rest of them. The reason why I bring this stuff up is that
just give yourself one of these?
No, although yes, Mike, yes.
Oh, shoot.
Although I would love to sit here and, you know, bask in my glory.
And another thing I said.
Okay, you guys ready? So these are things I'll predict will come true in the next 6 months. Some of these are going to be a little bit out there. But I just want to come up, be on record, because these things that I had stated before, like, you guys just have to take it on good faith. I mean, you guys know personally because I was telling you this in person. But for those of you listening to this right now, like, I have no way to prove that I said these things. I mean, I give you my word that I was, but okay.
You're a trustworthy guy.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. New predictions, which is funny. I started thinking about this a week ago. And this week, like, some of them started coming true. So
you're like,
here
damn
I am
it.
In the same position. So I'm kind of in the same position. It's
cutting into my list.
That's where, like, 10 people just turn to this. This guy's full of shit.
We, for some reason, don't release this episode for, like,
What do you mean it won't upload? Dude.
Sorry, dude. I'm trying. I can't get it to upload.
Okay. There will be a new variant slash disease for either COVID or something new. This is in the next 6 months.
6 months from today.
Six months today. I'm going to drill down.
A new COVID variant comes out like, okay.
Okay, no. That's kind of the main heading of like all the stuff that's going to follow here.
Okay.
Don't want to jump too far ahead. If this new disease...
Are all of these predictions 6 month predictions?
Well, I'm going to give you
each one different.
Yeah, each one's a little bit different, but this is all within the time frame of 6 months.
Okay.
And I use that just because of our convenient saying of the difference between a right-wing conspiracy theory and the truth is usually about 6 months.
Right.
Or a week. As it turns out.
Depending on your upload speed.
Yes. If this new disease is, and I guess, trust me, I wrote this last week. If it's something called monkeypox.
Sure you did.
A vaccine will become surprisingly easily available, and this will be timed to coincide with the midterms in the beginning of November 2022. And so... The new thing, it might not be a COVID variant, but it's going to be monkeypox. And we're going to get into this a little bit. But if it is monkeypox, they will have a vaccine fully ready, like right before the midterms. And they
filed it for the patent last year? It's my understanding that the vaccine for monkeypox is the same as the vaccine for
smallpox.
Smallpox.
Monkeypox is a form of smallpox. It's okay. A strain of the smallpox.
And so that's... Okay, I'm not going to push back on you until we're done.
Okay. And this is...
Monkeypox for the midterms.
This is future projection. So this will be outside my six-month model.
Okay.
But if this new scare, you know, catalyst for the pandemic is monkeypox, we're going to find out that the virus, stop me if this sounds familiar, originated in the lab, like COVID, and has all the same gain of function properties that COVID had.
It will have been
virologist looking at it like this thing was engineered to mutate and to spread as fast as possible.
Right. Well, so that's what I understand is that about smallpox is that the USA and Russia both kept samples of smallpox. No other countries did. That's correct. the going knowledge. And so the only way that smallpox could get back out into, because we eradicated smallpox from the face of the earth with our vaccine programs.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way that that disease could get back out is if USA or Russia opened up their vials and just, you know, sprinkled it on some people.
Mm-hmm.
However, since, you know, for a long time now, decades, they have been predicting that there could be a smallpox terrorist attack. Which to me doesn't make any sense. How do they get the smallpox? Well, it's because they can make it in a lab.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they would do such a thing.
Or why.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to have like a really corrupt country somewhere over in Eastern Europe.
Some kind of ulterior motive.
Yeah.
Like some weird, like, I don't know, some kind of bizarre global plan.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. But then like you'd have to organize... Things like, I mean, it sounds like the agenda of...
I mean, you have to start a war almost to...
Yeah. And then you basically adapt the template of the World Economic Forum. And that they'd have to have a way to communicate with the World Health Organization. I mean, granted, I know they're both meeting in this weekend in Davos, Switzerland right now. But I mean, probably coincidence, but I doubt they're talking about this.
No, it's my understanding they're in different hotels.
Oh, okay. See, it's not like they're... I think you're fine. Good point. I don't think it's anything to worry about. Okay, so back into my six-month model, because we're going to come back to the old monkeypox.
Monkey torture.
By midsummer, and this is kind of specific to our geographic region, so all of the usual, like, predictable panic centers, San Francisco, Oakland... going up the West Coast, we can talk about Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles, San Diego. We're going to have, by midsummer, totally renewed lockdowns and mask mandates.
For monkeypox? Or?
Could be. Could be monkeypox or could be COVID. Yeah, it's going to be one or the other.
And this is about the midterms?
Everything. I mean, that's that. Like, what do we always say? Don't never let a good crisis go to waste.
Yeah.
This is all kind of...
We don't say that.
No, we don't say that.
No.
the psychopaths that are enacting all these things are.
Rama Mania.
So by midsummer, I think we're going to have renewed lockdowns and mask mandates and all this in the urban centers.
By midsummer?
By midsummer.
Lockdowns and mask mandates.
Yep. On the regional West Coast. I think we'll see them like all the usual, like New York, Chicago, but I'm speaking to our specific geographic region. I think we're going to see mask mandates. I'm going to get a little brazen here. Within the next 2 months. In like San Francisco.
Isn't that midsummer?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. This isn't a full lockdown. This is just you have to wear masks.
Yeah, it's going to start out with masks, and then I think they're going to start doing more and more restrictive lockdowns.
All right.
By midsummer. We are going to have the aggressive calls for vaccine and booster mandates is going to start all over.
I can feel the anxiety of people driving in their car right now, like palms sweating, like those motherfuckers better not.
They're like, I hope they're still drunk from camping.
Just loading my pistol as we speak.
Renewed calls for vaccine and booster mandates. That whole conversation has mysteriously just kind of halted.
Well, it has.
It's definitely died down.
It has definitely died down. And I think because of that, you're hearing about all these, for some reason, only Democratic politicians getting COVID, right? They just like every week a new one says, oh, I got COVID. They post it.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm vaccinated.
I personally have family members that just got rocked by COVID. They all tested positive for COVID. All of them vaccinated. I was at all the same parties as them. I'm like, I don't know. Am I the luckiest guy on earth? This thing seems to like not affect me.
They should get vaccinated.
Yeah.
More though.
They did.
No, they need more.
They need as much boosters as possible. Funny you should say that. I think they're going to be calling for a fourth booster by the end of summer.
Well, that's probably why they got six, because they didn't have that fourth booster.
The fourth booster is not available now.
You're making my point for me.
You know, even people are saying now, like doctors, more and more doctors coming out, like, I think we're good on the boosters. Let's not do this. I think that conversation is going to turn, and people are going to be on the fourth booster by the
conversation
end of
right now. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Next.
All right. Here's a risky one.
Okay.
But what do we always say?
The thing about investing.
No.
Shit.
Do you want to do this when you're done with your stroke?
I'm still recovering from this weekend.
What we always
modest gains are for pussies.
Exactly.
That's what it was. Thank you.
Nice. Fortune favors the bold, gentlemen.
Ah.
Okay. I think.
Lord loves a working man.
Within the next 6 months, it may or may not pass. Probably won't, because it's heinously unconstitutional, is I think what we are going to have legislation introduced to Congress to tax the unvaccinated. There's going to be a specific unvaccination tax that's proposed to Congress. That's within the next 6 months.
The unvax tax.
You know, I told someone once, like, you're not vaccinated? I'm like, no. The anti-vax? I'm like, no, I'm anti-task. I just can't be bothered. I got shit to do.
I really want to.
I'd have to make an appointment, and it's just on and on and on.
I'm so busy.
I'll get around to it.
You're at the Toad drinking right now.
Yeah. That's one of the things I had to do.
It's on my list. What do you want me to do?
Okay. Another prediction. Public schools will not reopen this next fall.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Fortune favors the bold.
And that includes...
Not my
school.
You said
public schools.
Public schools.
Well, your school is a homeschool.
Technically.
Yes.
But it's not.
But what about Catholic schools?
Well, private schools, I think they will stay open, because they opened up way before the public schools,
They'll tell the state to fuck off.
Yeah.
Okay. Public schools won't open this fall.
Yeah. You don't need to write that down. We're actually putting it on
I
the
do
podcast.
Need to write this down.
Okay. Okay, last one.
I want to look at these when you're done.
Last one. This one, to the average layman, is not a COVID/monkeypox related, but for us, it is related because this is all part of a bigger framework from which, well, which is why we started this podcast. We are going to see widespread regional shutdowns and simulation power outages and shutdowns of the power grid all across the U.S. So large chunks of the power grid, giant chunks at a time across the U.S., completely arbitrarily being shut down. They might have some kind of bullshit excuse, you know, a windstorm or snow or it's too hot or where, or what have you. The way that we can mark this of that being bullshit, because sometimes that is a legitimate excuse, but the frequency by which that we experience that in the next 6 months will be a complete acceleration from any kind of previous years. So that we'll have to do some homework on.
Okay. Excuses being like it's too windy in California.
Yeah. So they'll say, yeah. So here in California, we're used to that because anytime it's too windy or too hot, they shut down the power.
That's the thing. Like you're,
which is why we should be on solar and wind. Doesn't that make sense?
Exactly. Most of our audience is in California and they're going to hear this prediction as like, yeah, duh. They shut off the power every year now. It's just something.
It's like, no, they don't.
That's, but you're talking about not just in California. You're talking about
big chunks of U.S.,
Oklahoma,
particularly urban centers.
Okay.
In the next 6 months.
And their excuse will be?
Well, what I'm saying is the way from which, because they can go like, no, they shut it down because there was a windstorm or because we had it rained or we had a flood or we had a crazy heat wave or whatever it is. But the way that we can prove that it's bullshit is that we look at, like as I was saying before, we look at the frequency by which they are going to do that in the next 6 months. And we compare that to previous years and go like, okay, the weather hasn't drastically changed in the last 5 to 10 years or whatever. So if we have 40% more power outages and shutdowns, you know, compared to the last 10 years, like that kind of shows that this is bullshit.
And you think they're going to say, well, we have to do this to protect against these natural events?
That will be the propaganda. Yeah. Each one will be isolated with some kind of specific excuse to why they did it. But the reason why they're doing it is they are testing again and again with all these different methodologies of the way that we can get an entire population to be compliant and subjugated under the will of the political elites.
But don't they want them scared for the election?
Yeah. Think of how scared people get when they just... they don't know if their power is going to be on for days at a time.
I'll tell you what, when I was in Texas for Ice-ageddon, it was pretty fucking scary.
Who's the opening band?
No, it was a meteorological.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. No, that was the opening band.
Oh.
Meteorological event. the power shut off. So Texas, being the large oil exporting and producing state that they are, runs their entire state on electricity. Everyone's house is electric. They have electric water heaters. They have electric space heaters.
No natural gas.
No natural gas at all. No oil boilers. No nothing. Just electricity. And then also in Texas, they subsidize solar and wind. So if you are producing power, you pay the same amount for solar as you would for natural gas, and you get a subsidy for solar and natural gas. So what do they do? They produce just a shitload of solar and wind. And then when a storm or something happens and it all shuts down, the whole state just stops.
Yeah.
All the grocery stores stopped. All the gas stations stopped. You couldn't drive anywhere because of the ice. It was really scary. I mean, people were dying in their houses because they didn't have any heat.
Right.
And that was not a deliberate shutdown. The fucking windmills just couldn't turn. And because these forms of power are so unreliable, they can't work unless you also have a reliable form, fossil fuels or nuclear, backing it up all the time. So that when the wind stops or the sun stops for a period of time, you have something that can provide all the power for the state without these things running. I mean, what a horribly inefficient system, right? Anyways, I went off on a tangent there, but it is scary as shit when the power gets shut off, especially if you're dependent on electricity, which is what they want us to be. Mm-hmm. Everything is supposed to be electrical now. You won't be able to drive your car if you don't have power. You know, we're fortunate. We have gas in our homes. We can heat water. We can heat our houses. We can drive our cars.
Although right they're trying to get rid of that here.
They're trying to get rid of all that. Yeah, they'd pass a law.
If you build a new house, you can't have gas.
Right. That is a law in our town.
Probably coincidence.
No, it's to save polar bears, I think. What is... So no one's actually explained to me what the problem with global warming is. And I know this is a topic for another podcast, it seems to me like it's a pretty good problem to have.
Gas is bad. That's what it is. It's gas. Dude, it's bad.
How fucking cold are
electric
we
is good
this weekend?
I mean,
prefer a 10 degree warmer day this weekend?
All right, let's stop. Let's not be selfish.
That's what made the world the beautiful place.
So that's it for my predictions.
Okay.
But
good.
The elections are a very, very like small step on the rung of the larger kind of paradigm. And that's what we talk about all the time. And that's the agenda of the World Economic Forum, now the WHO and the IMF. And you will own nothing and like it by 2030. This is all this stuff always comes back to that. So the way they see it.
So the
they do care as long as it's someone who is going to bend to the will of the political elites. So not a Donald Trump. But it could be the Republican version of Joe Biden. It doesn't matter. It just needs to be someone that's going to be on board with all this shit. There's no difference between Democrats and Republicans. We talk about that all the time. It's a complete distraction. You might as well follow professional sports. Is they just need someone in there that's going to play ball. It could be Mitt Romney. It could be Hillary Clinton. It doesn't matter. It's just they need an establishment politician that's going to follow the whims of these programs.
And so it's your prediction.
New world order, one world government, central banking, digital currency. You'll own nothing by 2030. The elimination of private property, civil liberties. You will have no privacy, complete surveillance society, on and on and on. No more growing your own food, no more growing your own vegetables, complete loss of liberty and autonomy. You'll get your government mandated protein bar and bug burger, and you will live, you know, be plugged into the metaverse on your, you know, with your UBI. You don't have to work anymore. Everything's automated. This is what they're pushing for. And we're going to get, the population will become just more and more just miserable and just compliant. And people will stop producing because you're just plugged in watching porn on the metaverse or whatever. The idea of the Western family structure will be demonized, and they're going to diminish it for all they can. They're going to get the population down, and we'll have, as Yuval Harari calls it, a bunch of useless eaters just existing, no purpose.
The article that you sent me with that person writing from the World Economic Forum,
yes,
writing about how what it's going to be like in,
it's terrifying,
in 2030 and how great it was going to be.
Yeah.
It read like the most ironic essay ever. And I kept waiting for the person to kind of finally fill in why this is a terrible thing. And it just ended.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, wait a second. Where's the irony part? Like, this sounds horrible. This is terrifying.
I woke up at 3 in the morning and read that. And I was like, fuck. Why did I read that?
Did I send that to you, Mike? Pull it up for me if you can find it, so I can point people in that direction. But let me ask you this, Matt.
Yeah.
Do you not think that all of these things, like an unvaxxed tax, or like Mike said, public schools not opening and the power being shut off for no good reason, the pushback from those things is got to be something that they're aware of. Because we've noticed that, I think, in the last 2 years, that this is like we're growing steam in our side of the, in our way of looking at things. A lot of people are listening to our podcast and realizing that how right we are.
Yeah. If you waltz into the middle of where we went camping this weekend and start talking about all this stuff.
Yeah,
so you're going to have a 90% pushback rate of people going like, get the fuck out of here.
Right. Like, so why would they do all that and push more people? Because they already have everyone on their side who isn't going to push back. Why would they not just leave everyone alone What's the point of?
I think they're slowly trying to eliminate people that think like us, people that maybe are listening to this podcast, people that listen to the podcast that we listen to, people that become privy to this information and inform themselves with it like we do and look up these things like what's on the agenda of the World Economic Forum. Is they are, would you agree that there has been a very concerted and very aggressive campaign to silence those people, deplatformed off social media, demonizing them, putting them actually in prison for protesting, you know, like the J6. Those people are still in solitary confinement.
Yeah. It's almost an arrogance. They just think that they're going to flush everyone out, and if you resist, you will be smashed.
They're trying to use, so like the J6 people they're using as an example. So people, and it works. You look at that like, holy crap, because we talked to those guys yesterday. It's like, yeah, I know some of those guys. They're in solitary confinement right now. I was like, they're setting an example. Like, you want to fucking act up, we will ruin your life.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about, I wish I could, I'll try to find this sound clip, but some of these people, like, they told the wife, because wife is, like, trying to get her husband out, and, like, this is ridiculous. You can't just hold someone. There's no charges. You won't let him talk to his lawyer. He hasn't been arraigned. He's had completely shut out from his due process, and the FBI agent told him, was like, listen, we're going to keep him in there. And even if he gets out, we'll just plant child porn on your computer and have him blocked away for life for that. So, like, if you want to fight us on this, like, go for it.
They said that?
They did say that.
To
and
who?
It leaked out to the wife.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Did she record that?
No, but she does have some kind of proof, and now there's this whole other trial.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yes.
Uh-huh. See? There's the pushback.
Yes.
It's a battle. There's a battle going on.
And so that's why we see so much, all this
talk. We got to win it.
Why we see so much talk, you know, in this completely, like, just narrative that gets driven in the ground about, like, racists and white supremacists. And it's like, we need to paint these people that are pushing back against the narrative and the propaganda that we're proposing for everyone. Anyone that pushes back against it, like, we need to smear them somehow. And, like, this is the easiest way to do it, because being a racist or a white supremacist is such a deplorable thing that it's people jump on board. So that would be like the Proud Boy that we were talking to. Even my own wife, I was talking about, I was like, yeah, we ran into some Proud Boys at the, like, what was that like? I was like, cool, like, pretty cool dudes. It was, like, interesting to talk to them, you know, because the dude's wearing a hat, so I imagine it's quite the conversation starter. Isn't it weird to, like, I mean, those guys are totally racist, right? It's like, no.
She said that?
Yeah. I was like, my own wife, like, who hears me rant all the time, and I was like, no, the president of the Proud Boys is a black guy. It's Enrique Tarrio. Like, see that you just weren't exposed to, you were exposed to the mainstream narrative and the propaganda of this. Right. So, like, these people are pushing against the idea of a giant authoritarian elite. And so it's like, well, they're racist or they're white supremacist, or we're going to put child porn on your computer or whatever it is.
I hope that comes out. Fuck those people.
I'll hunt that down.
Okay. Here's Mike found the article in Forbes. This is, the contributor is the World Economic Forum, right? It's, the title of the article is "Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better."
Jesus.
I mean, the fucking headline sounds like a Babylon Bee article, right? Oh my God. I would encourage anyone to read it. It's not that long. And just when you're expecting, I mean, someone should take this article and finish it for her.
Yeah.
Because she didn't actually do the right thing with this article, was to say, like, then give us, God, you know, though, it's like, life is actually, I'm living in 1984 and life is
so, if you read that the way that if you read the way that this is written, so, like, you know, I'm not going to read this, but so we have things that say, like, okay, this prayer: in our city we don't pay any rent because someone else is using our free space whenever we do not need it. My living room is used for business meetings when I'm not there. Once in a while,
which sounds horrible.
Yeah,
no one can read that and think. So that's what you keep waiting for her to, like, say.
What they are doing is slowly normalizing the template of a complete collectivist society where you own nothing.
Yeah, once in a while, I'll choose to cook for myself. It's easy. The necessary kitchen equipment is delivered at my door within minutes.
You don't even own kitchen equipment.
Since transport became free by fairy dust, presumably, we stopped having all those things stuffed. If anytime you see free, like, everything is free, like, just that should be enough of an alarm right there.
Free,
there
is no college. Such thing as
free. Okay, there's if you're free,
free rent.
Yeah,
rent forgiveness.
There is a slave for every one of you that gets to live this life. There's a slave.
Someone is
delivering your kitchen equipment.
Unless, okay. So, and this is the point of this article, though. If the entire society is on board, then it actually truly is free. because there's no, you don't own any money. You don't need any money. We're just going to provide everything for you.
Yeah, but who produces the things?
Your government. A one world.
With what labor?
AI.
Okay.
That's what they're trying to get us to. It's, I know you think it's ridiculous because it is ridiculous. It's not.
Yeah, but it's easy.
It's not realistic.
It's easy to wave a wand and be like,
but,
AI.
But boom, the reason why the collectivist society, the only way that it works is if everyone is on board. So to go back to what you're saying before is, you know, that 10%, which grows to 15%, which grows to 20%, hopefully gets to at least like 50 who goes like, no, fuck that. We're not down with that. We're here to live, to be free, to make our own decisions, to own our own land, to make our own food, to grow our own vegetables, to trade with our neighbors and to have our own communities. It's like those people that if your status at your core, you see any kind of independence or individualism as a problem, as the hurdle towards their goal for society. That's why you get demonized so much.
All right. Well, I got my own prediction.
Okay.
I just got one. I think you're going to like it. Mike, will you please play clip one?
As if COVID-19 weren't enough to worry about, there is now a murderous hornet from Asia here. It is gigantic, has the potential to be able to decimate the honeybee population here, and it stings like the devil. Jim Murray spoke to a couple of guys who found that out firsthand.
What's it like to be stung by a giant murder hornet?
Oh, this thing just stuck in my arm. Searing pain. My hand is completely seized up and locked in place.
Murder hornet.
Wildlife searing expert pain. Coyote Peterson got stung on his show, Brave right. Wilderness.
Look at this. If I turn my arm sideways, look at the...
Okay, I'm not interested in hearing a guy like that complain.
Okay. All right. He didn't like that one.
Okay.
Do you want me to get it out? Okay.
4 hours from camp, we break our journey so Brian can take me in search of a giant-sized insect. One that I'm particularly wary of.
Guys, I found a tree with an innocuous-looking hole down the bottom of it. And in there is one of the world's most fierce creatures. The way that you get them to come out is just by simply tapping on the tree. There you go, there's one, there's two.
This is the largest species of ant in the world, and I can personally testify to its fierceness. It's the bullet ant.
The reason they have that common name is that one single sting from this little insect feels like being shot. It packs a hell of a punch.
In the Amazon jungle in 2008, I took part in a tribal initiation ceremony, which was a trial by bullet ants. These gloves are full of...
He has gloves on. They're made of wicker.
They sting again.
Full of murder or bullet ants.
The pain is the worst of any insect.
Like hundreds of them.
And even when the gloves are off, it just gets worse.
Crying.
For about 24 hours, there's pretty much nothing else you can think of. It just completely...
Okay, so my prediction... is that we're going to see a new insect on the scene, my friends.
Think so?
Yeah, it's going to have a terrible, fearsome name.
For one of us to say, this episode's getting off the rails, that's saying something.
And so just keep your eyes out in the next 6 months for the rape beetle or some awful name, you know, like a Nazi fly, maybe.
Jesus, the dung moth.
So I'm predicting a insect scare. In the next 6 months.
Okay.
It's going to have a terrifying name.
Not bad.
Yeah. What about you, Mike? You got anything?
We found out that the patents for the monkeypox vaccines were filed last fall.
Well, that's kind of funny that you brought that up, Mike.
You guys playing this?
The U.S. just bought and distributed $119 million worth of monkeypox vaccine and distributed them around the U.S. They did that last week. Right after I wrote this down about this monkeypox thing, like 2 days later, I'm like, oh my God. Like no one's going to believe me.
So there was no monkeypox in the news?
No monkeypox in the news.
Not in the U.S., not in any other country.
The first cases that they looked at, I think, was in Brussels. It was at a gay pride event.
That makes sense.
Monkeypox.
Yeah.
And they just had the first U.S. Case, I believe, in Massachusetts. And I think there's one in New York they're monitoring right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
By the way, I was complaining that no one in the media was giving me any sort of death rate statistics. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I felt like they really weren't doing their job and terrifying us because this thing has to kill people in order for it really to be scary.
I did some due diligence on it.
Okay. Well, the number that I saw was, actually I heard Matt Walsh talking about it, I think, that it's 10%, mm-hmm. 10% death rate in Africa.
Yeah.
You got to keep that in mind because everything's worse in Africa.
Right.
As we all know. So, well, that's interesting. If that's true that they bought and distributed the monkeypox vaccine prior to monkeypox actually being in the news, you got to ask why.
The WHO, who again is meeting with the WEF in Davos, Switzerland, as we speak right now, the World Health Organization, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Johnson & Johnson and Merck, they all conducted they're prepared for this, but they conducted a monkeypox pandemic simulation in March of 2021. So this goes back, was it the last episode we did about all the COVID stuff, it was two episodes ago, all the simulations they did. Mm-hmm. Back in 2018, they're running, hey, what if we had like a respiratory pathogen that spread, by
from
this
a wet
percent.
Market.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Maybe by a bat, for any chance.
Yeah.
So they have already done the exact same thing with the monkeypox virus. And they started doing this in 2021. Endless simulations, the exact same thing that they did with COVID.
Well, they do. I mean, I'm with you. I'm on your side.
Yeah.
In this, but they do this sort of thing, and it's not as extreme of a coincidence to in my mind yet
mm-hmm.
as the COVID trial.
Okay.
Was because it was just so freaking eerily similar.
Yes.
And I guess I just don't have anything to compare that to. We don't actually have a monkeypox outbreak happening. So I remain skeptical, but
yes, I know you do.
You do have a pretty good batting average.
I would like to add something to my prediction list too, is that if they do double down and put all their money on the monkeypox hat here, I think what we're going to see, because the loopholes, I call them the fear loopholes, Mike, is the things that they missed with COVID is that we pretty readily found out that it didn't affect children, right? And once people found that out, they were able to go like, okay, if it's not affecting kids, it's mostly affecting like elderly or immune compromised people, like I'm going to not be as scared. The element of fear is going to like dissipate very, very quickly. And once that starts, because fear being the greatest weapon for these people that are trying to make you complacent, is that you start to realize like, okay, like maybe some of these measures that we took to combat this have been excessive with like the lockdowns and vaccine mandates and schools being closed down. Here's my prediction with this monkeypox thing is that the propaganda is going to be telling us that it's going to nail young people. And once people are afraid that their kids are at risk, they're going to comply with whatever draconian lockdown measures and vaccine mandates and masks and schools being shut down, whatever they have to do if their kids are at risk. So I think they realize that the political elites that were all on board and helped enact all this stuff with the COVID regime, it's like they're going to take their lessons away from this and they're going to realize like, okay, let's clean up our act a little bit and, we learned a few things and let's make the propaganda, let's gear it towards kids. And I think people are going to be fully on board to our regime.
I have a question about patient engagement, and you had touched on this before. All of these advances are amazing, but even if you make the greatest drug or the greatest wearable, there's no guarantee that the patient is going to take the drug or wear the device. So how are you thinking about technology to engage the patient?
Yeah. Again, maybe I will use an example. I think it's fascinating what's happening in this field right now. I mean, FDA approved the first electronic pill, if I can call it like that. So it is basically biological chip that it is in the tablet. And once you take the tablet and dissolves into your stomach, sends a signal that you took the tablet. So imagine the applications of that, compliance, the insurance companies to know that the medicines that patients should take, they do take them. It is fascinating what happens in this field. But of course, there will be an initial cost that someone needs to invest.
So I know this clip is a little played out, but I don't know. I just kind of can't let it go. And as I said before, like even the stuff that I had prepared for this week, like the predictions, for example, and then they happen like 3 days later.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It's hard to be on the cutting edge.
Is this the Will Smith slaps Chris Rock?
Yeah, is that we're still talking about this?
Still current.
This is George Bush giving a speech this last weekend. Here we go.
The result is an absence of checks and balances in Russia, and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine.
Anyway,
75.
That's so funny.
What did he say?
Isn't that funny?
What did he say there?
Yeah, I just said, like, I'm 75. What are you going to do in the audience? He got a good laugh out of it. Yeah. A couple hundred thousand dead Iraqis went, you know, killed over a lie.
Whoops.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Hey. Them's the bricks, you know what I mean?
Man, that was
kind of funny now.
Ago.
It's water under the bridge.
Yeah.
Like that, it just, I couldn't let it go. It was, I was so disgusted by that. Like,
totally.
Number one. Okay, so a couple things. Is that I knew, like, again, going back to predictions, when we invaded Iraq, that was my political awakening. I was like, I fucking can't believe we're doing this. This is a lie. I know it's a lie.
Right.
And like, everyone's going like, yeah, but 9/11. Like, what? No. What did Iraq have to do with 9/11? It's like, this, and I was an ignorant motherfucker and a fiery leftist, like, college student.
Right.
Like, but I was still, and still under this day, completely 100% anti-interventionist of military aggression on other countries. And like, here's this guy, decades later, has a Freudian slip, and he's talking about Putin. And then we had a discussion with a friend of ours who was railing about this clip. We're like, yeah, it's pretty disgusting. Not only is it disgusting that, you know, the Freudian slip was disgusting, but what's even more disgusting is that he had an auditorium full of people that were laughing about it.
Yep.
We're talking about, what, hundreds of thousands of people killed, countries decimated. You know, the PTSD, you know, the terrorists that we made from that, like, right. We're going to be dealing with that for decades after this.
And the money that we printed.
And the money that we printed,
do that. The normalization of our current economic system,
this, like,
where we don't actually have to be able to afford anything.
Women and children killed, families killed, people that had nothing to do with this killed. And we're making jokes about it.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to say that I'm like some sensitive PC guy, but what I'm the reason why I bring this up is that the guy that we were talking to says, like, yeah, I can't believe you know he said that, blah blah blah. Like, I knew it the whole time. I'm like, yeah, so did we.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but riddle me this: so you're all in on Ukraine?
And we knew he was.
Yeah,
just because.
Yeah. He goes, well, yeah, this is different now. How so?
Well, I'm on the left, and it's the left that's doing it.
Yeah, it's like, how do you know? It's like, well, like, now all these organizations, you know, the CIA, the FBI, you know, all the UN are all saying that, you know, this is the right thing to do.
Matt and I just look at each other like
we just started laughing. I'm like, those are the same people that were saying that we should invade Iraq, though. It's like, what kind of like domestic violence beaten woman syndrome are you operating on here? Like, he said he loves me this time, that he's gonna change. Like,
dude, he could not see
no difference.
He could not see that the exact same thing at least could be happening now. No, he's adamant that this time it's right. This time it's the right thing.
I don't get it.
After just saying he was the one that brought up this clip of George Bush making this Freudian slip and saying, like, how awful it was and how we were lied into this war. And then it turns right back around and says, that's definitely not happening.
We got it nailed this time.
Not even like open to the possibility. Yeah, it might be. No, this time it's legit.
Miami's going to be underwater by 2016.
Yeah.
Okay, we got it right this time. Louisiana will be underwater by 2030. Trust me.
Yeah.
Buy a Prius.
I've been warped by the rain. driven by the snow. I'm drunk and dirty, don't you know, and I'm still willing. And I was out on the road late at night. I seen my pretty Alice in every headlight. Alice, Dallas, Alice. And I've been from Tucson to Tucumcari, to Hatchape, to Tonopah, driven every kind of rig that's ever been made, driven the back road so I wouldn't get weighed. And if you give me weight,